Hello, everyone. Welcome to an all-new edition of the Sports Report Podcast with Brad and Clay. Coming up on today's episode, we'll recap the NBA Conference Finals, and we may have a new favorite out of the Western Conference. Welcome into the show. As always, my co-host, Clay Schrader. Clay, how's it going, buddy?
Well, sorry, I hooked up at work, didn't sleep too good last night, but, you know, I'm going to soldier through. Go find a winner, Kevin Durant, and just, you know, rise above.
There you go. Rise above the challenge, man. We have an interesting story shaping up the West now, which, you know, going back to our last podcast, we were tied up at one game apiece, and now the Oklahoma City Thunder have taken full control over this series and now up 3-1 after another blowout win last night over the Golden State Warriors, handing them their first consecutive loss games all season long.
Is it even? Is this real life? You ever seen that video where the little kid goes to the dentist and the dentist gives him the laughing gas or whatever, and then his mom's videoing him on the way home, and the stuff still hasn't wore off, and he's saying a bunch of funny stuff, and then he like looks around, and he's like, is this real life?
I'm sure that's how everyone in Golden State is feeling right now. Is this real? I mean, I woke up from a nightmare. Now we're down 3-1 in this series.
Yeah, it has been a nightmare.
What's interesting is going back to game one, I couldn't believe Oklahoma was going to go into Golden State and take game one. That really took home court advantage away from the Warriors, and then the Thunder did not let go of it at all. Staying home in game three and four, they were both blowout games. And the crowd, the Oklahoma City crowd, really got behind the Thunder there. And now the Thunder have a commanding 3-1 series lead. And now we're just one win away for the Thunder. And we could be looking at the end of the Golden State Warriors season.
Crazy. Such a great season. But, you know, I think everybody agreed if they didn't win it all, it would still be, you know, a little bit disappointing. And it's looking pretty slim at this point. They're going to have to play. They're going to have to play their best basketball of the year to be able to win the series.
It's been an interesting last two games because they're really so similar together. Both games, the Thunder came out hot. They got a double-digit lead.
Yeah.
The Warriors came back a little bit, made it somewhat of a ball game by the end of the first quarter. They're able to rope the Thunder back in at the end of the first quarter. You know, the Thunder, they're one of those teams, the Thunder are, where they get excited, they go in for a big run, they get off, you know, 15 straight points in a row. But as soon as the other team starts getting a few buckets, then we see the turnovers by the Thunder and all this other stuff start happening, and then lets the other team back in. That's happening less and less in this series as the Thunder have really been able to control the ball and not turn the ball over as much as the Golden State Warriors have, which was another team who has struggled turning the ball over all year. And with the length of the Oklahoma City Thunder getting in the passing lanes here and there, it's making it a lot harder for the Warriors to get some of these zip-around passes that they're used to throwing around all over the court.
No doubt about it. It's definitely causing problems. That's a good point. The difference in this game and in the series has been on the defensive end, in my opinion. And I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, Durant and Westbrook going off every night, but the defensive intensity, you know, has been there for Oklahoma City.
It really has. We've seen everyone contribute, and what's, you know, really interesting to me, watching Kevin Durant, who's known to be a fantastic scorer, one of the best shooters in the league at creating his own shot and making a bucket. He has been absolutely fantastic on defense ever since the last two games of that San Antonio series. In this past two games at home, he's ended up with like 6 or 7 blocks right at the rim, which should be just easy layups for these guys, and he's blocking and forcing all these tough shots. He's really stepped up his defensive game in this series as well.
He really has.
Him and Andre Roberson has last night really impressed me. Watching this guy kind of got picked on by the media, the Golden State Warriors, who really didn't respect him enough to even guard him when he was out wide open to shoot a three. They're just pretty much begging him to shoot it. And now he's actually killing them a little bit with his shot because he's made, I think it's 9 out of his last 16 threes in the last few games. And now we're seeing him contribute all the way around on offense. He's passing and cutting, making really good passes, by the way. He's setting hard screens, he's making open shots, and on the defensive end, one of the best defenders on that team is really giving Steph Curry a handful coming off screens and making it impossible for him to get up an easy shot.
Yeah, you can tell Curry's game has declined a bit in this series, and I think, you know, I think more credit should go to the defense, to the defensive intensity, like we mentioned, that Oklahoma City's putting on them. I mean, Curry's going to make his shots if they're, you know, the only way he's going to miss multiple shots is by getting a hand in his face, you know, old school classic defense. If you give him wide open shots, he's going to knock him down. He's just that good. And, you know, give Billy Donovan and his staff credit for putting together a great game plan and the players for really turning up the intensity. And I mean, if you play good defense, you know, it's like in football, basketball, anything, I think great defense trumps great offense. We see it time and time again. And so far that's been the case in this series. It's going to be interesting. You know, a week ago, I thought it'd be a slam dunk, you know, that we'd see Cleveland and Oklahoma City. I mean, Cleveland and Golden State, you know, in the NBA Finals, and I was really looking forward to that series. But now, who knows? We may get Oklahoma City Thunder and the Raptors. I still think Cleveland will come out of the East, but it's definitely looking like Oklahoma City is gonna pull this series out. And it's really been shocking, and the credit goes to Billy Donovan and that staff and the defensive intensity.
It's been incredible. Go ahead.
I know that Durant, you know, like I said a couple podcasts ago, you know, they needed Durant to play at a superstar level, and Westbrook as well, and they both, you know, have played at that level.
It's been an incredible last four games in the NBA playoffs, because we've had the Raptors win two games at home to even back up the series, which, you know, including everyone in the media, including ourselves, or, you know, me, for one, on the last podcast said that this series is pretty much over, it's done with. But now we're starting to see a whole different team when they go back home to, you know, we the North, to Jurassic Park. They start playing well. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan go off for big points. Bismack Biyombo is going crazy with rebounds and blocks and the finger wags.
That's my boy.
That's your boy, Biyombo?
Oh, awesome.
Is Mutombo 2.0.
Right.
But he's been playing well in the interior, on the outside. Lowry and DeMar DeRozan's shots are finally falling down. And, you know, a little bit's, you know, I don't want to give, it's, it, you don't want to take anything away from the Raptors. However, when you look in the fourth quarter, the last two games for the Cavaliers, and, you know, we'll get to them more later on, but just a real quick thing on them is in the fourth quarter, they've really gone away from Kevin Love. He's pretty much non-existent in the last two games in the fourth quarter, which is what they were doing so well in the Hawks series, and even the Pistons series was getting him looks in the fourth quarter, could, you know, get him rolling a little bit, moving on to the next game, carrying over some momentum. Now that's been non-existent the last two games. We'll get to them a little bit later on in this podcast. But first, I want to go ahead and wrap up some more on the Warriors and the Thunder. And, Clay, I was just looking at it here. I believe Steph Curry is 5 out of 21 from three-point land in the last two games.
Wow, very un-Steph Curry-ish.
And really, most of these are pretty non-contested. He does when he finally does scramble to get open shots, which has been a tough task for him to do in this series, especially the last two games. When he finally does get open, it's almost like he can't believe it, and he just throws up a shot until, you know, before a defender gets there and tries to block it.
Pressing a little bit because he finally got another shot, and he's probably thinking about it too much.
Right, and what's interesting is because, you know, we talk about getting the switches and the matchups that the Warriors want, they get a big on Curry, and he can, you know, do a crossover and a back step and get an open three. Two games in a row, Steven Adams has blocked Stephen Curry's three-point shot at least one time.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. That's a guy who's also playing his best basketball despite, you know, all the low blows and everything that's happened to him in this series. He's overcoming all that and being a real key contributor for this Thunder team.
He had a low blow the other night. I don't know if you want to get into all of that.
Well, short story is Draymond Green kicked Steven Adams below the belt on accident, quotations. Ended up getting a flagrant foul. A lot of speculation whether he'd be suspended or not for the next game. He wasn't suspended, but he, you know, maybe the Warriors would rather him be suspended because he's been absolutely terrible the last two games he's been on the court. They are the Warriors are minus 72 with him on the floor the last two games.
Yeah. It's been interesting. Look, I know some people that are not huge Draymond Green fans. I thought he was a pretty okay guy. He's kind of a hustle player and everything. But, yeah, I thought it was intentional. You know, I didn't really like it. I mean, they've been kind of jarring back and forth, you know, for a little while. And things were getting heated as it was. And then when that happened, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of it.
Now, I really thought it was intentional as well. I didn't want him, like, as a fan of the game. You don't want one of the best players on one of the teams to be suspended in the, you know, such a heated moment in the playoffs. But, again, if this was the regular season or maybe any other player on that team besides Curry and Thompson, they're probably suspended.
Yeah, I wasn't hoping it'd be suspended. I agree with you on that. But, it definitely deserved a fine. Which he got, at the same time, I'm glad he wasn't suspended. Yeah, I agree with you on that because it would have took away from the series. It could have been. I mean, if he'd have ran back and punched him, and it ain't really, that's different. But at least the way it happened, it left some doubt in some people's mind that it could have been an accident. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and that's part of now the game, too, when a lot of people flopping and acting, trying to get foul calls. And Kevin Durant's one of the big ones who does that. We see, I mentioned him last time, he's one of the guys who will throw up a crazy shot. You're thinking, what is that? And he's trying to get the call rather than get a decent shot. And sometimes he'll flail his arms and legs. And that's what Draymond did a little bit here. But when you look at it, as many times as we have the last few days, it really looked intentional to me. But again, him not getting suspended, he plays in game four. He has just awful turnovers in the game that really goes Oklahoma City's Thunder's way, and they get easy buckets on the other side of it. And then, he's really, it seems like every playoffs, every year, there's one bad guy, right? There's one, there's one guy who has to play that key role. And it really fuels the other team, especially when they're at home.
Yeah.
Like this game was, and he got booed every time they touched the ball. Every time he got called for a foul, you thought the Thunder just won the game by the way the crowd was reacting. But he really did not have a good game whatsoever, and it's taken away a little bit maybe of how hard he plays, because if he does get one more flagrant foul, he will be definitely suspended for the next game.
Wow.
So maybe he's having to dial back that intensity level just a little bit, and that may be throwing him off a little. Maybe he's overthinking some or whatever it may be. Him and the Golden State Warriors are not the same team that we saw in the regular season. And it seems, we've seen them kind of struggle a little bit in the playoffs, and now it seems we've kind of got them, I'm not saying to the bottom, because they're not terrible. They're still one of the best teams, and they're still capable of coming back and winning the series. However, it may be time to start getting closer to that panic mode button for the playoffs this year if you're a Warrior fan who's down 3-1 and one game away from packing up and going home and being really disappointed in this season, because everyone had pretty much given the Warriors a championship this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, a month ago, I would have bet money on it. But now, I'm glad I didn't.
It really brings up the key point. We talked about it here on the show a long time ago when I asked you, what is the best chance of happening? Golden State getting the 73 record and winning the championship? Or one or the other, but not both. And we could be looking at them getting the record, but kind of being a disappointing season altogether if they don't end up with a championship.
It will be disappointing, yeah. And now, even though they're going to have the most wins, people always say the Chicago team was the best team, of all time. And maybe they were. That's still up for debate, I guess. I mean, the Thunder's not, the Warriors are not done completely yet. Let's not write them off. They could win three straight games. I don't think they will, but they can. All it's going to do is keep putting doubt in people's minds, which I think a lot of people would have doubted it anyways, but now it's just going to add more fuel to the fire that, they weren't the best team despite having the best overall record, which is kind of disappointing. I'm really disappointed, honestly, that they're not going to win it all with, after having such a great season.
And you got to give the Thunder a lot of credit here because they're coming out on both ends of the floor. And this is a team going back to the end of the – well, right after the All-Star break when they had lost like six of the last eight games at that point down that stretch, people are starting to pinpoint, what's wrong with the Thunder? Billy Donovan's out of – you know, it's too far out of his control. Maybe he's over his head a little bit. And now it looks like he's actually out-coaching Steve Kerr, who was the coach of the year this year. He's doing a really good job of making adjustments, and his out-of-timeout plays are fantastic because they get easy buckets every time after a timeout when they call one. So now the Thunder have really taken control of this series. Kevin Durant's been great. Last night he started out hot, got a little cold between quarters there, but finished strong, had a good night total with about 26 points. Russell Westbrook, by the way, gets his fifth career triple-double in the playoffs, with 36 points, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds as well. The first player to have a 30-plus triple-double in the playoffs since Charles Barkley did in 1993 against the Bulls.
Wow.
So it was, all in all, a fantastic game. I was really blown away by just the effort level, really. I mean, just, if you watch the two teams play, one team wanted it more than the other last night. I get that they were down some, and that kind of discouraged you a little bit, but as a not only as a athlete, but as a man, you kind of want to go up and show them that you're not going to quit, and you have this fight in you to come back and maybe even win the game. And we really didn't see that from anybody on the Golden State Warriors team except for Klay Thompson, who tears off 19 straight points for the Warriors in the third quarter to kind of get this game back at some sort of a level. They got, I think it was within six at one point. And then after that, the Thunder, as soon as Klay Thompson picked up his fourth foul, and he had to be careful a little bit more. He started missing some shots because he was tired of, you know, carrying the team for the last 8 minutes.
Yeah.
He heads to the bench, and right after that happened, it was all Oklahoma City from there to close out the game, 118-94. And I'm really just blown away by, again, the effort level by the Thunder on everyone on that team. And last night we saw from everyone, not only Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, but Deion Waiters comes off the bench. He gets 10 points. He's hitting threes. Left and right. I mentioned Robertson. He ends up with 17 points, 12 rebounds, 5 steals, and 2 blocks. Just a crazy game by him. Steven Adams is doing a great job fighting all this action in the paint. No one gets more beat up in any game situation than Steven Adams. It seems like he's been on the ground almost after every whistle that gets blown. But he gets 11 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And Serge Ibaka, this guy finally showed up. 17 points. He hits a three. He gets a few steals and a few assists, and a few blocks to really, you know, reinforce his name as one of the best in the post defenders. He did that. He got up and forced some guys' shots the wrong way and got a few blocks here and there. And it really just was the Thunder taking control of this game on every single facet. Rebounds, turnovers, fast break points, assists. No matter what it was, the Thunder controlled that game last night, in which I thought the Warriors were going to come out and try to even the series back up. They had a good shot at doing so, but I mean, after the way the Thunder came out yesterday, you knew that this was about to get ugly, and it sure did. And now the Thunder have a commanding 3-1 heading to Golden State tomorrow, which is a pretty quick turnaround for this series if you're Golden State, because most of the time after a game four, you have about 2 or 3 days off and, you know, in the first part of the playoffs anyway. But now we got to the conference finals, and you have just one day off like you're staying in Oklahoma City, but now you have to travel here and there. You have to unpack. You have to get home. There's so many things that throw you off your rhythm when you just have one more, you know, one short day to do it. And now the good news is for the Warriors, I think they will rebound. They do go back home, like we said, and that crowd is just as crazy as the crowd in the Chesapeake Arena last night. So I do see the Warriors rebounding and getting a win. They have to get a win or they go home. But I think they will kind of resemble the team we're used to seeing out of Golden State. Maybe Stephen Curry will get back to his normal self. It'll be interesting to see if the Thunder take their foot off the gas a little bit and don't guard them as well, or if the Warriors just come out and ride that crowd behind them, giving them some momentum.
It will be interesting to see. I agree with you. I could see. I think, you know, surely the Thunder will win this next game with their backs against the wall. But you never know.
I mean, we're looking at it. If let's just say for a second, the Thunder do go on to beat the Warriors and reach the finals, We could be looking at one of the best playoff runs by any single team, because no team has ever beat a 73 team regular season win team in the playoffs and a 67 win team in the playoffs in back-to-back series, and then go on to face the best in the East and possibly beat them in the finals. So the Thunder are peaking at the right time, and I'm loving every single minute of it, because this is the team you really root for, because you're hoping for Kevin Durant. You know, it's really been a weird season with him, with having the first-year head coach in Billy Donovan, this year being the last of his on his contract, all the talk, of course, being him a free agent this summer. And now that talk's starting to quiet down a little bit, because it's looking like if the Thunder keep this role that they're on, he could possibly win a championship and then up for a max deal for 5 years, and they can go at it for another 5 years with Russell Westbrook and Billy Donovan together.
Yeah. It could really be the start of something special, you know? I agree with you.
It could, because we were actually thinking about, you know, this being the end of Oklahoma City Thunder, him possibly going to Boston, or maybe him heading off to Golden State and winning a championship with those guys, or even joining the San Antonio Spurs. And all these hypotheticals are really fun to talk about, but how great of a story would it be for the Thunder to overcome all these obstacles this year? And let's you know, not even add in the off-court issues that have, you know, had with Monty Williams, with Maurice Cheeks, with Deion Waiters' brother, all this off-the-court issues they've had with just terrible tragedies, being part of that family there. They've overcome all that. They've overcome some of the stress and negativity on the court, and now they're peaking at the right time and have a chance to win a championship. And if that's the case, you got to think, why would Kevin Durant leave Oklahoma?
I've been pretty adamant that I think he'll stay, although it wouldn't be, you know, just super shocking if he left. But now at this point, I think it would be pretty shocking if he left after this great run they've had.
It's funny how a narrative can change in just a few short weeks here.
Absolutely.
Remember after game one of the San Antonio series when they got blown out.
From one podcast to the next, it could change.
That's right. Going back to game one against San Antonio when they got blown out nearly by 40 points, that was the end, right? Everybody thought, okay, well, the San Antonio Spurs are pretty much, they could almost sweep the Thunder from here. Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent. He's going to leave and go somewhere else, and that'll be the end of the Thunder. And now the Thunder have won, seven out of the last 8 or 9 games against the Spurs and the Warriors. How crazy is that?
It's been quite a run. Got to give Billy Donovan credit, man. Some people didn't like to hire, you know, I was a little iffy on it, but he's proved once again that he's a great coach.
That's, to me, you know, a lot of times in pro sports you kind of question the coaching ability and what the input he might even have on the team, because it's just mostly superstars taking over and doing what they want, because they're the ones who control the ball, control the game. But I've really been impressed with Billy Donovan, because just watching him make adjustments, go with different lineups, and draw these really crazy out-of-timeout plays. It's been really impressive to see him kind of grow, mature as a head coach in the NBA now, and he's actually out-coached Steve Kerr in this series to this point. This is a guy who could end up winning a championship in his first year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And really, because one of the big things we talked about when he first got this job was what he's inherited from Scott Brooks, which was an amazing roster, an amazing front office. It's, you know, the best situation to fall into if you're a first-year head coach. And now he's really taking advantage of it and really putting hard work in it, and that's really paying off.
Absolutely.
And on the flip side of that, Clay, the Toronto Raptors have really come back to tie up this series at 2 games apiece. Yeah, that's right. You heard me right. They're 2 games apiece now. This series, 2 games ago, looked like it was going to be another sweep, and the Cavs are going to have pretty much a whole week, maybe a week and a half to rest up before whoever came out of the West. And now it's looking like we may be in a dogfight in the Eastern Conference. The Cavaliers do return home tonight for Game 5 against the Raptors, and we may see them getting back to themselves a little bit. We mentioned it earlier on in the podcast about Kevin Love being really taken out of the offense and really out of the game in the fourth quarter. Do you think that'll probably happen, or do you think that Tyronn Lue's going to try to drop more plays to get Kevin Love more active? Because that's really been their best when all three of them together, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love are all firing on all cylinders, and you throw in J.R. Smith and Channing Frye and all those guys, they're really that's when they're at their best. But now we've seen them kind of struggle, especially getting some points in the paint against Bismack Biyombo and some more of the Raptors' defense.
Yeah. And J.R. Smith's shot's kind of been off the last couple games in Toronto. He airballed a few, which is not really – I mean, he was on fire, you know, in Cleveland, you know, these last few series. So, yeah, I think J.R. needs to step it up. And I think J.R. Smith needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, he's got a good jump shot, you know, and when he's hot, he's hot. But, you know, you remember those old highlights of J.R. Smith from 4 or 5 years ago, all the highlight type jams and the drive? I mean, he needs to, I think, you know, kind of bring back the old J.R. Smith in a way.
He's pretty much got to the point now in his career where he's settled because of everyone knows his ability to shoot the three and make the three. He's pretty much settled, but, and also because of what their offense draws up, which is a pick and roll situation for LeBron James to come off and kick it to a wide open three guys. Well, you have to respect both of them. Now, I mean, you're right. I think he does need to be more aggressive and attack the paint a little bit, get some buckets here and there. And one thing, if you're a shooter like J.R. Smith and you pass up on a three, you attack the basket, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a guy wide open because they're going to draw a double team on you. And that's where you can find guys like Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving on the outside with wide open threes.
I agree. So maybe, that's what my advice for JR would be. God, because I like JR Smith. I think he's a good player. I wish he didn't play for the Cavs.
Yeah, back in the day, man, the Denver Nuggets, when they had Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony, Kenyon Martin, and JR Smith all on the same team. Could you imagine that?
Man. It was a good team.
And George Karl was your coach. I mean, how distant would the relationship be? You know, we saw what happened between George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins, just one player in the locker room this year. Could you imagine having all four of those guys in your locker room and you being George Karl and just the disconnect from communication from game to game?
I tell you, that was a fun thing to watch.
It really was. It was funny because that was the last time the Nuggets actually made any noise in the playoffs. They were actually a pretty decent team back then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Clay, we saw the Raptors get back to their normal steps in the regular season here. We had Kyle Lowry go off for 35 points, make 4 out of 7 from three. DeMar DeRozan shot well as well. He ends up with 32 points. Attacks the basket, gets some easy layups here and there. Jump shot's been on point. Bismack Biyombo only gets 5 points, but he rolls in 14 rebounds and 3 blocks. That's a guy you want. That's the kind of game he's accustomed to playing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a big scorer, although he did have a nice little jump shot, I thought. So that would be something if he could continue to develop that, you know, mid-range game. He could round out to be a really good player. Now he's getting big minutes now because of an injury to
Jonas Valanciunas.
You're better with those names. Those Raptors, they get these guys from everywhere that have these crazy names. But I'm really become a fan of his.
Bismack or Jonas?
Bismack, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've become a fan of his. Which I'm sure a lot of people have watching this first series.
What's funny is you go back a few years ago, Bismack Biyombo was actually on the Oklahoma City Thunder's roster. And on NBA 2K, he was the worst rated player a few years ago. Worst rated player you could possibly get in the game.
Yeah. In the whole game, wow.
Yeah, and he bounced around in real life. He bounced around team to team. And he's finally found a home in Toronto. The key thing here is he's actually a free agent at the end of this year.
Ooh, that thing.
So he is going to get mad money no matter where he goes. And if you're Toronto, what's most likely to happen is DeMar DeRozan leave. That opens you up enough money to sign Bismack Biyombo to a max deal, which is crazy to think about because last year or any years before that, you would have never suggested or even said Max Deal and Bismack Biyombo in the same sentence.
I don't know if I'd still say it in the same sentence. You think he's bigger than demand a Max Deal?
Right. Yeah, well, that's where he's going to demand anywhere he goes because he's playing his best in the playoffs, which is the last thing on people's minds when they go to sign somebody in free agency.
Yeah, we got some much screens. I mean, everybody said he had the last game, like 19.
He had 26 rebounds in game 3.
Yeah, 26, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's historic you know, that's a historic game, but I don't know if I'm ready to throw max money at a guy. Like, I mean, that's like you know, when the Seahawks threw all that money at Matt Flynn, and I was based off of one game, you know.
Right.
It's you know, that's real risky.
The only thing is with this year and the salary cap going up like it is in free agency, almost everyone who signs a deal this summer is almost a max deal contract. Just, you know, there's going to be some that sign in just enough to be like, you know, the veteran minimum or something like that. And that's even going to go up as well. But deals like that, we're taking that out of the equation. But if you're a real free agent like he is, and he can even opt in with the Raptors, he has that clause to opt back in for one more season, but he'll get paid like $10 a game. So I don't think he's going to do that. But most people who's a free agent this year, they're going to get paid no matter where they go or their situation. They're going to get paid by somebody. The Raptors are just a team who can offer him more, of course, and have him for an extra year as well. And he's a guy just like Hassan Whiteside, who's played the best in the playoffs, and now he's going to be a max deal player as well, either with Miami or someone else this summer.
Yeah. Well, and a big man that can do multiple things. Yeah, that's hard to come by. Like I said, if he can continue to develop that outside shot, you know, he still can improve there for sure.
That's the only thing lacking really from his play. You know, you look at it, the last couple of games, he has got a ton of rebounds and blocks. But in the last couple of games, he's only got 12 points, two games combined.
Yeah. The few shots he's taken, though, he has seemed to take them, has to be taking them with confidence. So that's good.
Yeah.
So maybe he can build off that confidence. I like him. I'm a fan of him for sure. I'm just not, you know, I'm old school, I guess, just throwing max money at a guy like that. Just,
well, if you're Atlanta or if you're Oklahoma City or one of my favorite teams, I say no. Don't hand all your money over to Bismack Biyombo. But if you're a team like Toronto who's going to miss, you know, one of your big superstar guys in DeMar DeRozan, who's probably going to leave, you're going to need to fill that gap. And Bismack is a guy who's got the, you know, he's one of the fan favorites there in Toronto. It's, you know, everyone kind of rallies for him, gives that finger wag when he gets a block like Mutombo used to do. So that's a guy, it's a big PR move to sign him to a max deal. You get fans kind of excited again. You know, they kind of forget that they missed DeMar DeRozan. So it'll be an interesting summer to see what happens, and really interesting rest of the series here to see if Toronto can steal a game in Cleveland. That'll be the key thing here. If they can steal a game in Cleveland, this will definitely go to seven games. But if the Cavs win tonight, and by how much, that could really determine the rest of this series.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. The Cavs have really handled them easily in Cleveland so far. But Toronto's handled them pretty easily in Toronto. I mean, look at the scores. It's not coming down to the wire. I mean, so it is interesting. That's how it goes sometimes in these playoff series. Just the home team, just, you know, home court advantage is just huge for some teams, and for some teams it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, earlier on in the playoffs, it was the same exact way with a home team, like the third or fourth game, would just take control and blow out the other team. And you're thinking, you know what, this isn't much fun. I'd rather see four games of tough competitive action that goes down to the wire. You need a buzzer beater to win in overtime. But, you know, the first half of the playoffs are really mostly blowouts, and we've seen that the last really four games, because the Raptors in both the last two games were up by as many as 20 points in both and kind of squandered their lead a little bit. But them and the Thunder both are playing at their best. Just, we'll see if they'll be able to keep it up going forward.
That is the question.
So
I think the Thunder will. I think the Thunder.
Let me ask you this: is the series over? Is it done?
We'll see how game. Yeah, we'll see how game five plays out. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that Oklahoma City is going to represent the West.
In the 229 times a series has been 3-1 in the NBA playoffs, only 9 times has that team down 3-1 come back to win the series.
I'm surprised it's happened that many times, to be honest with you.
Me too. It's only a 3 percentage to do that, but still 9 teams have done that. That's pretty impressive. One of those, the most recent being last year when the Clippers were up 3-1 on the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets were able to come back, win the series. I couldn't believe it. After the Clippers had beat San Antonio in 7 games and then go up 3-1 over Houston the second round. Then they blew it the rest of the way. Houston goes on to play the Warriors in the West Finals, and they get beat, and history from there.
It was history from there. Yeah, it will be something. Which obviously this next game is huge. Golden State obviously must win. I think I'm with you. I have a feeling Golden State will win Game 5.
I just can't see them losing 3 games in a row, and one of those being at home.
Yeah, I can't either.
But we'll see what kind of confidence they have going in, because they haven't looked themselves. If you look at them, just their body language off the ball. You know, Steph Curry's not cutting. He's not running like he normally does after a break or anything like that. All of them just look like they're kind of out of it. And the Thunder are, you know, this is exactly what Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are craving for. They're underdogs in the series. They want to knock off the top dog in the Warriors. They want to let people know that you got to respect us, and we can win this championship, and we should be, deservedly one of the favorites to win it all. So this is exactly what they're wanting, and they're playing that way as well. Their play is showing out there. Every time they step on the floor, they're outplaying the Golden State Warriors in the last 2 games. We'll see if they'll be able to keep it up in Game 5.
We will. It's going to be interesting. But I like the way this Oklahoma City team is playing right now. And if I had to pick of the 4 teams to win it all, I would put my money on them. Would you agree with that?
Wow. For me, I don't want to get the traditional sports fan gets caught up in what's happening in the moment and says this team is the best team ever. Okay, we've seen that several times play out. But now, I mean, going back a few weeks ago, you had never said the Warriors would be down 3-1 in series, and here they are. So I don't want to react too much to what we just saw last night, fresh off a game. I will say the Thunder are playing better than Golden State in every facet of the game the last 2 games. But it'll be interesting to see if they'll be able to sustain that going back on the road in Golden State. Because, I mean, you never want to bury the defending champion who got better this year, has a unanimous back-to-back MVP, wins 73 games for the first time in NBA history. You don't want to doubt that team. There's one team who can come back from 3-1. It's going to be these guys.
Right.
That being said, they have a lot of work to do to get back to the shape that they were in Game 2. Really, really took control over that game to even the series back at 1 game apiece.
No doubt about it. They definitely have a lot of work to do.
So with that, Game 5 of the East Finals is tonight between the Raptors and the Cavaliers. We'll see if the Raptors can steal a game in Cleveland and take control of this series, or if Cleveland will get back to themselves and take that lead back in the series. And tomorrow night is Game 5 of the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder back in Golden State. The Warriors, rather, are one loss away from being eliminated, so it's a must-die situation, must-win, live-or-die situation for the Warriors. They have to win tomorrow night's game to stay alive. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will be. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think these next 2 games will be really good games.
I think I'm kind of licking my chops in both these series, especially the West, because I'm loving every minute of the Golden State Warriors and the Thunder, because I love both of those teams and those players on each team and the coaches. This everything about this series is perfect for me, because it's so great to dive into every aspect of that series.
Yeah, and on the East side, you got LeBron, which we're not huge LeBron fans, and then Toronto, that's in Canada, so you don't really know much about them. And they're a young team, and they're exciting to watch. But yeah, I'm with you. The West series is definitely more interesting, and the fact that Oklahoma is not going according to script, I think, makes it even that much more compelling. You know what I mean?
I think you're right.
It's been a fun playoffs, that's for sure.
If the Warriors would have came out and just took control of this series 3-0 or even swept the Thunder, then people wouldn't be as into it as they are now. Now there's a lot of panic out west for Golden State.
There's a lot of great memes and stuff on Facebook. It's pretty funny so far at the Warriors' expense,
Which is something we haven't seen all year.
I've seen a good one with it was a family portrait of when Steph Curry was young. Have you seen this one? Steph Curry, his brother, you know, his mom, and you know, his dad, Dale Curry. But instead of Dale Curry's face, somebody put in a Russell Westbrook's face on Dale Curry's body, so saying that he's Steph Curry's daddy. So that was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I think one of my favorites is, you know, I think it was last week or week before, we had that crazy fight go on in Major League Baseball. Between the Blue Jays and the Rangers?
Yeah, where Bautista, I think, got punched right across the face.
Got clocked in the face, yeah. Well,
he got clocked right in the face, and yeah, he wouldn't even thought he got touched. He just, you know what I mean?
Right. He's a tough dude.
He is a tough dude.
You can't have a name like Bautista and not be tough.
I wouldn't punch him.
But the best meme that I saw was that picture of him getting punched in the face, but it was Russell Westbrook doing the punching in Steph Curry's face.
That was pretty funny. That's pretty good.
But yeah, it's been an interesting rest of the series. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are as well. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
No doubt about it.
Well, Clay, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast again with me here. It's always so much fun to get in here and talk sports with you. I appreciate you coming on.
Wow, no doubt about it.
Remember to check out replays of new and archive episodes of the Sports Report podcast on iTunes, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Sports Report. We'll see you guys next week for a brand new podcast.